Welcome to the Chicago Bears Podcast, a presentation of ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Here's your host, Pat the Designer.
Bear Down Bears fans, welcome into another week of the Chicago Bears Podcast, and we're finally past preseason football. Thank God. Lance, you ready to see some real action finally?
I am. I'm excited about the final roster going into first week. You know, if there were any questions that people had, you know, this should answer a lot of them, you know, and Bears solidifying that they believe are the Bears that are going to help us win in the 2020 season.
Yeah. I think that we got a good group here heading into this season. Of course, final cutdown day going to be Tuesday. We're already seeing some cuts come in, some interesting cuts. I don't know if there's anything too surprising. One name may be a little bit surprising, but maybe not for guys who play football. Right?
Not at all. There's competition that happens during this time. You know, guys are competing for starting jobs. Guys competing for roster spots.
Yeah.
You know, and both. And guys that were making progress last year, you know, we bring some other guys in. They're not making progress this year. Those guys are progressing further past them. You know, so it's a what have you done for me lately league. And,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Some guys haven't been producing lately.
Hey, listen, 3-14 season, a lot of guys didn't end up producing. And so you see some changes come in, but we'll talk about that. Got to get into Travis Gibson says he wants out. The Bears reportedly have given him permission to seek a trade. We'll talk about that in the first quarter. Second quarter, it's cut down day, like I said. What is cut down day like? We'll get that insight from Lance Brigg from the player perspective. Then we got a halftime segment. Of course, Tyson Bagent in the third quarter, winning the backup job, apparently. Talk about some of those cuts that came in as well.
Surprise.
And fourth quarter, your questions. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you all season. Send your questions on Twitter and at Pat the Designer, and we will answer them on the show. Appreciate you guys for showing love, as always.
First quarter.
Let's jump straight into this, right?
Travis, let's get right to it.
He seems like he is I'm a little surprised here. I'm not going to lie. I thought that he was a guy that would want to be on this team, would want to be able to make a name for himself. But there are some question marks around him, right? 7 sacks 2 years ago, 3 sacks last season. And it seems like he's behind Dominique Robinson. He's behind Rasheem Green on the depth chart right now. Lance, yeah. Should the Chicago Bears look to trade Travis Gibson?
Well, I mean, they gave him that open door. They opened the door for him to do that. You know, it was really a last spot that he was competing with against Terrell Lewis, and Terrell Lewis kind of solidified that deal. You know, this past weekend. Look, this stuff happens. You know, one day you're in the light. The next year in the dark, you know, and at least the Bears are opening the door to allow him to seek a trade. I'm pretty sure he saw it coming. You know, he knew he was probably on the bubble and he was competing and probably saw that. Listen, I'm not outplaying this guy. I'm not outplaying the guys that I need to outplay right now. So I need to seek somewhere where, I might have a better opportunity because that opportunity has kind of come and gone here now.
Here's the weird part for me, though, right? Like, when I look at the preseason and the camp that Travis Gibson had coming into this season, to me, he's performed better than Dominique Robinson. We haven't even heard Dominique Robinson's name in the backfield. His job is to get to the quarterback, right? When I look at Rasheem Green, when I look at, you know, Terrell Lewis, I think you got a good one. That was a good name to pull up. I think that he did solidify himself. But Travis Gibson, to me, is better than both of those guys who are ahead of him right now. And I'm actually confused why he's so low on this depth chart right now. Like that's the part that has me lost. I get it, right? Like maybe how much of the scheme fit go into comfortability for a player, right? Because when he had that 7 sack season, if you remember, that's a 3-4 defense, not a 4-3. Do you think that could play something into it?
Well, the scheme, the scheme matters a bit, you know. Some players do fit certain schemes better than others. But, you know, when you get into third and long situations, you're not running a 3-4. You know, you're running a four-man front, you know what I mean? Or some sort of variation, you know, where you're running some sort of game. But for the most part, you know, when you get into that nickel-style defense, you're rushing four. I don't really have the answer for that one.
But the
Bears seem to think that these other players are a better fit for what we're doing right now. When you look at Travis Gibson, to me he looks like he has the type of body that can transition to whether you're playing a 3-4, 4-3, no matter what. Like he's a rushman. You know, he looks like a rushman to me. You know, probably more of the physical nature, a bigger guy, but it wasn't good enough this year.
It's just I don't know, man. I wanted to see him kind of have that bounce back year. You thought he was going to be a part of this front. I get it, right? He moves further down on the depth chart by a lot. Once you get Yannick Ngakoue, right? Like the second you get him, it's like, hey, bud, like it's okay if you want to leave. Like that's fine.
Mm-hmm. What about the day before that? Day before that, we're like, hey man, we know we love you. We know you're gonna turn it around. You know, and then the call comes in. It's like, hey fella. You know what I mean?
That's how it goes, right? That's how quickly it happens.
You're not happy here, right? You're not happy here. So, you know, make a phone call, man. You're entitled to that.
That's how quickly it happens. Like, we literally were talking about Travis Gibson being one of the main parts of this defense, coming in, hoping he has this bounce back year. And just that quickly, right, he requests a trade. Now, I will say this, right? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of trying to make their name in the football world. They're a little bit newer in the football world, but he is a clutch sports guy. Now, if you Lance, you're a big NBA fan, right? Listen, you know how it goes when you sign with Clutch in the NBA. Somehow you end up on LeBron James's team. Right?
That's not a bad team to be part of.
Not a bad team to be part of, right? But there's a little chicanery there going on, in my opinion, right? LeBron's best friend owns this agency, and everyone who signs there ends up on LeBron's team, right? Like, a little nepotism, maybe. I don't know if that's how it works, but do you see a scenario like this where in the NBA it becomes very prevalent? Do you see something where that could actually come into the NFL world where right now, right, Travis Gibson seemed like he was going to make this team, he was going to be a part of the team, and then, hey, I would rather you guys trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen all the time. You know, in college you have the transfer portal. So there's more kids that are transferring out, you know, for whatever reason, you know, dislike of the coach, you know, mostly it's a situation that's not beneficial to me, you know, and when I was in college, you know, the coach that recruited me, Dick Tomey, ended up getting fired 2 years into my college career. You know, if had the transfer portal been available, I would have transferred out of Arizona after those 2 years.
Really?
Because number one, you know, I didn't know who was coming in. And after the first few meetings with the new coach, John Magovic, I would have known that this isn't going to be the place for me. This isn't the direction that I came here for, you know? And so, you know, I mean, that's just, but that's the same thing for these pros. Same thing happened for these pros, you know, hey, this isn't a situation that is beneficial for me anymore. And it goes both ways. The Bears are saying the same thing, and Gibson saying the same thing, you know?
And so, because they're allowing him to seek that trade, right? That's you saying basically the Bears are like, hey, whatever you want to do to make you happy, brother.
Right. Right.
But it's going to be interesting to see kind of what the Bears are going to be able to get out of this. I mean, listen, I like Travis Gibson as a player. I think he's going to be able to go somewhere and play a good role on someone's team. I asked this on the post-game show after the Bears versus Bills game with Peggy Kaczynski over there. Could this be a scenario where it's been reported that the Chicago Bears are interested in bringing in a guy like Chris Jones? We know what Chris Jones can do, 15 and a half sacks, dominant player. Could this be a try-to-win-win scenario, throw Travis Gibson in there with a little bit of draft capital, trying to sweeten that pot a little bit to get Chris Jones back?
What for? I mean, listen, not to take anything from Chris Jones. He's an all-pro type of player.
Yeah.
But what do we benefit for from the now when we're trying to build the future?
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to build the future right now, you know, and the future has got to be built brick by brick, not by, you know, calling somebody in and getting that extra, you know, that crane, that extra crane and, you know, or that new technology that's going to build it faster. No, let's build it the right way. Let's build it the right way. We have our pieces. We have our pieces that we're putting in this year. You know, let's, you know, we should be better this year than we were last year.
Yeah.
And then the goal the following year is to be better than we will be this year. You know, with the picks that we have, some good picks. We're putting together a solid core, and let's continue to build upon it. And we can build a championship for years to come.
Would a Chris Jones move be something that you do when you're near championship level, not when you're trying to build it up? That's more where you lean on that.
In my opinion, yeah. I mean, it's whether you're knocking on the door or you're coming off a championship, and now it's just pluses because you know now at this point you have a winner in Justin Fields. You can plug and play just like they do in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. You know, there are certain things that you can do, but right now, you know, I think it's we're still trying to find the right core, get our real identity on defense. You know, try to get our identity on offense. You know, we're trying to solidify our offensive line. You know, we're still building on our defensive line. So there's a lot to have that we can. There's a lot that we're still building. And if we trade a lot of what our future is to get a Chris Jones, you know, then it gives us a. We have to take a step back now.
Yeah.
In what we're trying to build, which is the future.
It sets a timeline on it almost, right? Like all of a sudden it's just like, all right, we got to win now while Chris Jones is still going to be able to go out and get 15 and a half sacks. And I think like, I loved bringing in Mac. I really did, but it was a home run swing. And all of a sudden when Mac in year two, year three, year four, wasn't the same player that he was in year one, it was like, okay, you swung for the fences. Yes, Oakland messed up every single pick that you gave them, which is kind of impressive. I actually think Alex Leatherwood was one of those picks who the Chicago Bears also just cut. So it's crazy to see that kind of come full circle. But, you know, like that, I love that move. But when you look back on it, it set us back years. Set us back.
And I was on, listen,
back by it.
I was on teams, you know, I was on teams where draft picks were traded away to get, you know, Jay Cutler. You know, those draft picks were given away. You know, those are first round picks that were given away for him. So, you know, to be in a position that we're in now, like it just doesn't to go after this big fish when we can build the whole doggone lake. We can build hold all dog on like what we have.
So, I like that. That's a bar. Somebody clip that up right there. You don't got to go after the big fish when we can get the whole lake. I like that. And let's jump into the second quarter here, Lance, with the bars out here. Brought to you by Hallmark Casino, Northern Indiana. See Gypsy Kings featuring Nicole Reyes on September 29th at Hard Rock Live. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. We got
second quarter.
Actually, at the Hard Rock Casino yesterday for Football Fest. Good time, man. A lot of Bears fans out there. Saw a lot of Bridge jerseys. I saw three, four Bridge jerseys.
You saw a Bridge jersey.
I saw some Bridge jerseys out there.
Otis Wilson. It could have been a Doug Buffon or Otis Wilson.
No, they actually had your name on it. It said Briggs. Like I was able to see it. It said Briggs. You were good. You were good. You were good. Now that's the wild part. See, here's this a total sidebar. So right for me. Now, at this point, I would buy a Briggs jersey or an Urlacher jersey or whoever's jersey now of players that I know. I have a hard time buying current players' jerseys because that's a lot of money to throw on a jersey and be like, hey, I love this guy. And then they trade him a week later. Right?
You can get a Fields jersey.
I can get a Fields jersey. I could feel confident in that. A little more confident. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have a tough time buying current players' jerseys in general, right? I still don't have a Zach LaVine jersey.
My son has a Zach LaVine jersey.
Does he? I'm sure, man. Like that West Coast vibe, like you know how Zach get down out there. But it's always one of those things where either the guy's gonna get traded away or I'm just waiting for him to like. I want to root for you and show you the love, but then like I wanted a Kobe White jersey when he got drafted, and Kobe White ain't that good right now. Like I hope he get there, but he ain't that good right now. You know what I mean? Like I like the wait and see. I like the wait and see approach.
Would you have bought a young Luol Deng jersey?
I had a Luol Deng jersey as a kid, actually.
But you did, right? I bet you had Derrick Rose. Come on.
I had a Derrick Rose. It wasn't a jersey. Remember they did the NBA switch to the t-shirt things?
T-shirt deals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had one of those. I had one of those. Because I was like, I could wear this as a regular shirt. I'm out here. Right. Okay. So, but we'll see. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's just me. And let's jump into the second quarter, though. Lance, cut down days here. I mean, literally, as we're doing this podcast right now, people are getting cut. Like, I see it coming through. Fontaine has just been informed that he will be waived. Or I'm sorry, Darius Fountain has been informed that he will be waived. You know, the names are coming in. What's cut down day like around the building? Is it a dark day in the building? Is it like?
Depends on who you talk. I was lucky enough not to have any dark days or feel like any of those dark days were coming for me. You know, the most nervous that I was my rookie year. But at that time, when the final cuts were coming, I was competing for the starting job. You know, I was competing for the starting job. So I wasn't worried about being cut. You know, when I'm splitting reps at with the ones and I'm on all these special teams. So,
yeah.
You know, it was the year where I really kind of figured out, you know, would look at that depth chart and they're like, man, I think I'm going to get cut. And I'm like, why? They're like, I'm on the threes and fours on all the special teams. You know, I'm a backup. They're like, that's the sign that he's like, I started at the beginning of training camp. I was a one.
Yeah.
Now I'm a three. Yeah. That's a sure sign I'm getting my walking papers.
That's tough.
Yeah. But those are the signs. Like those, a lot of guys will look at that special teams roster or every day and they'll see themselves move down. They're like, man, I got to get back up. I got to find a way to get myself back into the ones there, because that's what staying power means. For me, you know, me and Peanut, we were in a different group. Yeah. You know, we always wish people well, wish they would come back and stuff like that. But we knew that we were part of the core.
Was there somebody who got cut on that could have been on you guys' team that you then later in the season looked back and saw him on another team and was like, man, he would have been nice to have here?
Shoot. I can't remember some of these names. I can't. Man,
you're not getting old, are you, brother?
That's a lot
you're
of
not
years.
Getting old on the
a
side.
Lot of years. Listen, my brain works a specific way. Okay,
yeah.
I have the freshman script and game plan. I have the 8U practice schedule. That's right here, right in front of me, right here. You know, and now you want to ask me to remember a bunch of the players that I played with for 100 years. My brain's not gonna do it. My brain is not gonna do it.
I respect it. I respect it. It's so interesting, right? I love being able to get inside the mind of people who are in the building, because right on days like this, for you, like you said, it was a very different day. Was there a sense of pride in that? Was there a sense of, yeah, you know, we got something that we build in here, right? Like what's the feeling of knowing I'm good?
It's definitely a feeling of knowing. And I had felt, you know, I felt that way before I even touched the field in Chicago. But I remember our last, you know, I was rocking the number 91. Now, when I got the call, you know, T-Med called and he said, hey, fella, he said, we got two numbers that you can wear. He said, you can wear number 59 or you can wear number 91. And I said, I'll take 91. He said, you don't want 59? I said, nope. Because in my head, I'm like, if I take 59, I'm going to be stuck with that number for my whole football career. So there's a chance that I may move, like change numbers. I'll change out of the 91. And if I'm going to have to wear one of these two numbers, I'd rather wear 91. So I rock 91. Then on the final cuts, as soon as the final cuts happen, Warwick Holdman, he comes up to me in my locker, and he Mike Caldwell just got cut. He was rocking number 55. If I were you, I'd run over there and get it and get that number. so you get out of that nasty 91. So I was like, really? He's like, yeah. So I sprinted from there to the locker, to the equipment room. And I said, T-Man, can I please have number 55? He was like, hold on, Haas. He's like, you want, I'll let you know. It was one of those, you know what I mean? He was like, you couldn't just give me confirmation then. But by the next practice, I had number 55, and I was a very, very happy man. And thank goodness, because if I'd had 59, probably never would have had.
Hey, that's a crazy story to hear, because especially like the fact that it's like, hey man, he just got cut. You gotta go, hold on now. Wait a minute. They let him go? I'm in there. Like it's like you said that's perks to everything, right? That's perks to everything.
And that's the business. I always liked Mike Caldwell, you know what I mean? He was one of the linebackers, the older guys that really helped me out, you know. Yep. But and I hated to hear he had gotten cut. But that number's free? Oh, that 55? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I'm on it. I will pick up the flag and carry it for you, Mike. Don't worry.
She said, I didn't cut him. I didn't cut him. It wasn't on me. Don't blame me for that. Oh, man. I love it. We're having a good time here. We got to keep this thing rolling along. There's so much to get into because we have – I will say this. I'm not surprised based on how football normally goes, but I'm surprised based on how the Bears have done things in the past. I think this is actually another thing that is a feather in the cap of changes in Chicago. And we'll talk about that once we get to the third quarter. But first, we got the halftime segment here. And Lance,
yes,
FIBA basketball is going on right now, Lance. And I got to ask you this, because Noah Lyles, a track runner for America, I believe he did win the gold medal. Had some comments on America's world championships. And he said, for some reason, it was a very weird moment. He just randomly like took up this torch out of nowhere. Like nobody really brought this up to him. But he said, how can NBA players be called the world champions when they only play American teams? So, Lance, where's your standpoint on this? How do you feel when, right, you win the Super Bowl and you're the world champion, but you're the world champion of America because we're the only ones that realistically play football, according to Noah Lyles?
Yeah, he would be upset with me because I have also been one to say, listen, for a big chunk, for most of my career, I was the best traditional outside linebacker in the world, you know? And it extends beyond just America, because this is the best football on the planet. So with that being said, yes, best in the world, you know? So that's, you know, to each their own. That's his own opinion. You know, it sounds a little bitter. Sounds like a little bitter about it. You know what I mean? Because he's an Olympian, you know, I get that. To me, it's, I want to toast to the troops, man. I want to toast to everybody that's out there playing, and if that's how you feel, man, whatever motivates you to be great, go for it, man. I mean, I'm here to support you,
man. Listen, I feel like this man was in the mirror at night and he thought that was gonna be a bar. He was like practicing that. He was like, and America's gotta be better, and we're not the world. I love him. Like, he thought that was gonna hit. He thought that somebody was putting that on a rap verse the next week, bro. He thought that was gonna, and well, it's goofy, because here's the thing. He picked the only sports you can't do that in. No disrespect to Super Bowl and all of that, right? Technically, you're the world champions because we're the only ones who play football at this level in the world, right? The CFL is a completely lower league, completely different rules, all of that, right? But literally the best players in the world all want to just come play in the NBA. All over the world. Luka is where? NBA.
It's true.
Sabonis, NBA. Embiid, NBA. Giannis, NBA. He ain't playing in the Greece League.
But you know, track is an individual sport. Yeah. You know, it's individual sport. So you're individually, you know, preparing for each one of your events. And so it's, you know, to him, you know, I'm trying to use some reason here. You know, to him, you know, he's working so hard for not even though he represents the country, but it's there's selfishly he's trying to get the recognition for himself to be the best.
Right.
You know, it's not one of those things unless you're running that the relay race, any of the relay races, you know, it comes down to the event that you're in. And then in that event, you know, he has broken a lot of records. You know, he's done some great things, broken some of Usain Bolt's records, and it's awesome that he's representing our country. Yeah. And looking at the Olympics next year, you know.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I think it's a little bit easier to see a situation, especially when you're playing a sport that is it's not a non-team type of sport.
It's more on you. It's more
right? On like you.
It's all of you. You don't have to rely on anybody else for your right. success to have. Of course, training staff and stuff like that. But like the actual act of going through it is you breaking right. the records.
Right.
I love you shooting them some bail there. I'm not buying. I'm telling you, he was in the mirror the night before.
He's still bitter. He's still bitter about it. You know
he's
like,
bitter. He
and at the end of the day, you know, everybody has their own opinion. It just gets put out a lot faster, and people can see it more often now. But the reality is, listen, he doesn't make or break anybody's NFL, whatever they're doing. It wouldn't bother me in the end if I was playing, if I was in the NBA. It wouldn't bother me at all. That's your opinion. Keep it to yourself. Fine. Let's move on because I'm a world champion.
I think my favorite thing of all is that it did bother the NBA players. And so they're just in his comments, like all the entire brotherhood of the NBA. I ain't seen the NBA work this hard together on anything since LeBron went down to Miami. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, everybody has come together to be like, this guy's crazy. What is he talking about?
That union is pretty strong. That union is pretty strong.
Hey, bro, they coming for him. They ain't said nothing about it. They just, hey, listen. My favorite thing is, too, like, at first everybody was like, man, like, y'all know y'all on your personal accounts, not your burner accounts. Mm-hmm. And then you just saw like Easy Money Sniper, Trey Young's in there, all of these mugs. Just like
they pay attention.
This guy's an idiot. This guy's an idiot. Like, wait a minute, hold on. It's KD, that's you. That's your actual page.
Yeah, this is not the door you want to open right here.
Oh man, let's keep this thing moving along. I love it. The fact that the NBA Brotherhood came together on that. I was dying laughing watching that unfold yesterday. And I know he woke up this morning thinking he ate that. He probably didn't look at his phone all night. Thought Muzz was going to be all on his side. He's like, wait a minute, hold on now.
Listen, if you continue to win, you know, people are going to love you. But the moment that you take second, third place, they're going to throw NBA all in your face.
Oh, yeah. It's a target. It's a target. I love it. Hey, listen. And like you said, he is great. Right? It's not like he's just some Joe Schmo throwing this out. He's great at what he does. He's a world record runner, right? So I love to see
he's not as a big a name as Shakari Richardson, though.
Mm-mm. Nah, Shakari cooking out here. I ain't going to stunt with you.
Cooking.
Hey, I love watching Shakari run. I ain't going to lie to you.
Right?
I love watching Shakari run.
Love her story. Love what's going on, man. And she's just it's amazing to see her her thrive right now. You know,
and she's so unapologetically herself. Like but I love it, right? Because she's
not
like,
unapologetic. She's not unapologetic because she apologized to the world about what happened in the past.
Well, she's not, when I say unapologetically herself, right? I mean that she's not worried about people's perception of her. She's correct. Not worried. She's just going out there and running. She's just going out there and winning.
She's in a good place mentally. Yeah. You know what I mean? And she's focused. She's focused, and you can see what a focused Shakari Richardson can do on the track.
She's dangerous, man. It's crazy. It's like, you know, here's the thing. I'm not a track guy. Like, I've never sat down and been like, I'm gonna watch a track meet at a regular moment. But when you see the best of the best do it, it just blows your mind away. What was it? The last race she was in, I believe two young ladies from Jamaica were ahead of her.
Yeah, the 4x1.
She said, now it's time to go. Hey, you just saw her just go. I was like, what is happening right now?
It's great to watch. She's inching closer. She's inching a little bit closer to Flojo's times. Mm. You know, Flojo's times are insane, just so you know. You know that, right?
I did not. I was not aware. I'm not a, like I said, not a huge track guy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. If you get a chance, just Google Flojo and watch her and watch her run, and you'll be blown away. Like, there's no one even close to her. And these ladies now are starting to get a little bit closer to Flojo.
How far? When was Flojo running?
Shoot, 80s.
80s? Okay.
It was 80s, right?
Hold on. Late what is 80s? Her? What's her full name? You saying Flojo. Maybe I do know who this
Florence,
is. And
Florence Griffith Joyner, I think. Flojo. Florence.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that I know. I didn't know they shortened it in the track and field world. I didn't.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know.
The people that knew her, we used to call her Flojo.
Just flex on me real quick.
I might have met her in passing when I was a baby. You know what I mean? But we call her Flojo now.
I love it. No, man. So how far behind Flojo is Sha'Carri right now?
So I think Sha'Carri ran a 10.65. Okay.
Right, okay.
I want to make a liar out of myself, but I think Flojo ran a 10. She ran a 10.
Florence Griffith Joyner ran a 10.49.
10.49. Yes. 10.49.
That's insane. That's insane.
It is.
Now see, right. Here's the part. See, I was going to do a quick halftime, but now that we're here, right? Here's the part where it's like, on the flip side of that, did you see Kevin Hart running a 40?
Yes.
Oh my God. Kevin Hart tore his entire lower half of his body.
Yep. He sure did. He sure did. He pulled up.
So when I asked you last week, would you come back for a certain amount of money? Are you like Kevin Hart when he said 44 told him to sit down?
Yeah, I just try to remind you that you know, is there an amount of money that would get me out of the field? Yes, there is. That's for most of us. You know, whether you played football or you didn't play football.
Right.
You know, I mean, hey. How much would you take $10 million, get in the ring with Mike Tyson in his prime one round, go two rounds, one round? Yeah, I'll do it. Of course, you know what I mean? But does it mean I should? I should not be on the football field playing at all, you know, and along with a lot of these other retired players. We should not be doing it.
This is the toughest part about it, right, was I was watching it because they got the video out there of him running now. And he actually was keeping up. I was like, oh, he actually is like fast. Like, I guess that shouldn't surprise me that much. Even at 44, that he's still pretty fast, but he ain't fast no more. He said, I tore everything. He said he tore his abductors.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right. Okay.
It's going to hurt. You can't even laugh. You're going to hurt to laugh.
Oh my God. He said everything is messed up. Hey. Get well, Kevin. That's what we're in this one, and stop trying to compete with it. He said, "Well, he stopped. Life stopped him."
Third quarter.
Let's jump into this third quarter, because in the third quarter here, not gonna lie, not to say that I'm surprised that Tyson Bagent is the number two, but the fact that he won the job. And what I think is very different about the Chicago Bears now than what we've seen in the past is he won the job over somebody who they paid, and they didn't keep him around. PJ Walker gets cut yesterday. Were you surprised when you saw that news come through, or were you like, this is how the NFL should work?
This is how the NFL should work. You know, I've seen it happen the other way time after time after time. Where they keep the safe pick, and they say, you know what, even though the younger guy outplayed him, it's like, well, we haven't seen this guy really play, and you know what we'll do is we're gonna cut the young guy and see if we can get him signed, and we're gonna keep the savvy vet, the old vet, and to me, you know, it's like if you've shown me what I need to see out of you, then let's roll the dice with you. Yeah. Let's take a chance with you. There's so many veteran quarterbacks that'll be available. Some retired that'll come out of retirement, but there's so many guys that you can get in here that have played this game for years. You know, if this project doesn't work out, but we have a guy that can come in here that's got ice in his veins. and he's making the throws. He's sitting in the pocket. He's making the right decisions. He's moving around the way he's supposed to. You know, why not give him a chance? We may not see this guy anyway, because if Justin stays healthy all year, we may not see him at all this year. But if we do, let's see what he's got when he comes in.
And I think that's the part that I love the Bajent story. I love that he's the young guy coming in. He's going to be able to back up Justin Fields. He's going to be QB2. I love the story. I'm not going to lie to you. I love the story of his dad more than anything. The fact that he's the greatest left-handed arm wrestler of all time. Like, that's just insane to me and hilarious. Like, and he's got a full podcast called Tell Me I'm the Greatest.
Sylvester Stallone, did he play him in Over the Top, the movie?
Literally, he could be the same guy. Ooh. I'm not even kidding you. He literally looks like that.
You got to look at
when I tell you, because remember, right, the moving over the top is what? You turn the hat around.
Turn the hat around. And somehow Sylvester Stallone gets his lip all the way by his cheek.
So I end up going down this rabbit hole watching Travis Bajent, and he's one of the cockiest dudes you'll meet in the world. He knows he's good. He 100% is the GOAT of our wrestling. He's looking this dude in the eye. He's going, you better get up or you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And he's got him like about to pin him. He's like, you're going to lose. I told you were going to lose. Dang it. You should have done what I said. Now you're about to lose. And he ends up beating the guy. And the whole time, hat backwards, lips a little over. You know what I mean? Lips a little over. But at the end of the day, right, Tyson Bajent ends up winning his backup job. I say all that to say, I don't want to see him. I hope that he's on the team. I hope he gets paid. I never want to see Tyson Bajent on the field.
Yeah, well, you know the way the football gods work. If we do see him, I want to see him for a brief period of time and in brief stints where we're getting blown out, or not, excuse me, let me rephrase that. We're blowing a team out. I know, I'm sorry about that.
Come on now, Lance.
I'm sorry.
You just trustmined yourself right there. We're going to have a team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Mark. They won, Mark.
I meant to say we're blowing a team out, okay, and he's getting some reps.
Yeah,
one of those type of situations. Or if there's an injury, it's a minor injury where, you know, Phil's gonna miss a week, maybe 2 weeks, and yeah, that's the time to get him in, get some experience, see what we have, and then get ready for and at least he splits it. You know, he splits those games 50%. You know, we win one, we lose one. You know, on the bright side, on the hopeful side, we win both of those games, but we don't lose those two because of him.
Yeah, no, and that's, to me, right, like, what I saw in preseason, it didn't overwhelm me with, like, my God, he's leaps and bounds better than P.J. Walker and all of this. What it told me was P.J. was horrible. Mm-hmm. P.J. had, I've said this the entire time, P.J. had a terrible training camp. PJ had terrible practices. PJ was overthrowing guys. He was missing Reese. Like, I'm actually proud of the Chicago Bears for going about not just saying, yes, he's a veteran guy. We want to have that veteran experience on the team, keep him on the team to work with Justin. He's been in the league longer than Justin, but like, at no point am I sitting here talking to this veteran guy about, hey, what are you seeing out there?
Right.
Because Justin's going to see it a completely different way.
Oh, please believe they have some veteran on speed dial right now. They're talking, hey, listen, get yourself ready.
Yeah.
You know, things get hairy over here. You're going to be on the first thing smoking in Chicago.
Josh McCown come back. I know he's coaching, but maybe he gets back in for a little, you know, just some reps.
I doubt. No, not this time. Not this time.
Not this time. We call on Josh McCown so often. Not this time.
Mm-mm. He's coaching over at Carolina, man. He can't do that.
I love it, actually. I love seeing it go full circle, man. I mean, high school coach comes into the league and ends up being an NFL coach. I love it. I think we've had some great conversation here. Great breakdown of the inside mind of the player on this game. Let's go out and finish it out with this one here.
Fourth quarter.
the fan questions.
Okay.
These the fourth quarter, we're going to do this pretty much all season where we ask the fans what are their biggest Bears questions that they have. We're going to ask it to Lance, Courtney, J-Mac, Yurko, all of that. So let's get into the fan questions here. Starting it out, Chicago Sun-Time has been a regular on this one. Shout out to Chicago Sun-Time. He said, Lance, what is your favorite sack?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
It is. Had a lot of them. Got some Aaron Rodgers sacks. My favorite sack was probably against the Packers. Obviously, and it was one where, and I think I mentioned this to you before, but it was one where Favre tripped. He tripped. He snapped. Mm. They snapped the ball, and he tripped and fell. And on one side, you have Ottawa Agunlier that's fighting to get to him, and on the other side, you have Alex Brown who had hit the ground, and he's just inching like this, just. Fighting to get to him, fighting, you know? And I saw him fall down. I ran up and I just touched him with one finger. I touched him with one finger and they were like, they blew the whistle, sack. And I ran off and I took the sack. You know, it was great. It's a great moment for me. You know, it was, that's my greatest sack.
Might be the easiest sack in NFL history.
Yes. I've tackled people with one finger. I've sacked quarterbacks with one finger.
You have told me the story about grabbing somebody with one finger.
Yeah, one finger. One finger. The same finger. That same finger put Favre down.
Strong finger, man. Strong finger. Take that how you will. Anyway, shout out to Mr. Two Letters. He said, what advice would you have for Tremaine Edmonds, who basically has one preseason game to get ready for Green Bay?
Good luck. Stay healthy, man. You've been doing this for quite some time. Still to be the age you are and have been in the league as long as you've been, you know what you're doing. You've been this is a system you're familiar with. You're gonna be a stud in this defense. Just looking forward to supporting you, my man.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Right here we got at Chicago Bears love affair. All right, shout out to him. He's in a love affair with the Chicago Bears. I hope his wife doesn't know. What is your prediction for Bears-Packers week one?
Bears win. Bears win. See, this is going to change because right now we don't know you're right. We don't know what the injury report. There's so much that. So I will say Bears win. You know, they'll score more points than the Packers will.
Let's see here. They'll score more points than the Packers.
Right, we got to see how the week goes. We got to see what's going on. Like this,
we don't. I mean, that's an honest assessment of it too, right? Because listen, I hope the Bears come out and absolutely dominate this Packers team, and I do think that there'll be a win no matter what. But this offensive line is, there's a lot of question marks right now heading into Week One. Mm-hmm. Like I don't feel I haven't seen one snap of Nate Davis yet. He barely took any snaps in training camp, in practice, like.
And your boy Tevin hurt again.
Why you got to be my boy? Like, I like Tevin, but you got to be my boy. Like, I don't like how you threw that on me. Tevin's tough. Tevin's the toughest one because it changes everything that you wanted to do. At least, right, you still have Cody White here who's able to slide over there. He's got the club on his hand. Did you ever go up against somebody who had the hand clubbed?
Yeah,
trying to get through the line
all the time. I used to go out there with my hand club, both my hands club. I had one on this side.
Were you a guy that used it on the weapon as a weapon?
My body was a weapon. Okay, my body was a weapon.
All right, I think we're gonna end the podcast on that note right there. I like that one. That's good. That's where we're gonna end it there, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you guys for showing love to another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, Bad the Designer Lance Briggs. Leave a 5-star review. You're not getting this content anywhere else. Access. You're gonna be able to talk with us in the fourth quarter of every single podcast. So stay tuned in. What a sense of questions. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago Bear. Don. Peace.